You are listening to the Fancy Free podcast where my girlfriends and I tell our most embarrassing funny stories so that we all feel less alone in our imperfections, feel like we're connected to other women, and have an opportunity to laugh at ourselves together. Today, I'm really excited about my guest, Meredith Cherry, but before I introduce her to you, I need to tell you that, you guys, we had so much trouble with our audio and technological difficulties. So for part of this interview, it sounds like somebody is making balloon animals in the background, but I promise you it's worth it. Meredith is such an interesting person, and her mission is just amazing. You can't miss it. So stick in there with us and enjoy my interview with Meredith Cherry. Meredith, thank you so much for being with me today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. So you are riding your horse Apollo through the lower 48 states for domestic violence awareness, and the ride is called Centaur Ride?
Yep, the Centaur Ride. We are going on an approximately four-year, 48-state ride. I've done 3 years and 31 states so far, so over 8,000 miles.
Oh my goodness. I'm so confused about this logistically, although I think it's brilliant. And I love the fact that your attempt is to bring awareness to domestic violence, because I think it's such a huge problem. Fill me in a little bit about how this works.
Sure. It is confusing logistically. I'm the only one doing it, and I don't have a support team, but it's just me riding from place to place with Apollo. There's no trailer following me or anything. I ride about 10 to 15 miles typically in a day, and I ride from spring until fall, and then I take the winter off. When I'm riding, I just network with people around the country. You know, every 10 to 15 miles, I need to meet someone new to stay with, so I'm staying with strangers everywhere I go.
Not only are you finding strangers who are willing to host you, but strangers who are willing to host you that have appropriate facilities for Apollo, I'm assuming.
Yes, although he doesn't require anything really fancy. He's been in everything from fancy show barns to backyards.
Wow.
And he was even in a basketball court one night.
Oh, I love it. And so do you carry your feed along, or how do you feed him when you get where you're going?
I just get food wherever I'm going. So usually I'm staying with horse people who have hay and grain and that kind of thing. But luckily, horses eat grass. So if I'm staying somewhere that just has a lawn, then he gets to graze the lawn all night, and he mows people's backyards or whatever. Mm-hmm. He mows and fertilizes.
Exactly. I love it. Oh my gosh. So tell me a little bit about how you came to decide to do this and where you're hoping it takes you when you're finished with the 48 states.
I was a victim of domestic violence, and I was in that relationship for over 12 years. And when I was in that relationship, I felt so alone and helpless and hopeless, and like nobody else knew what I was going through, and like, what would I do to even leave? There was no way to leave. It was just such an awful mental state to be in, as well as physically. And when I eventually did leave, I found out that it's a huge problem, that depending on what statistic you're reading, somewhere between 1 in 3 and 1 in 5 women will experience domestic violence in some form at some point in their life.
Wow.
And that is a lot of women.
As a woman with 2 daughters, that really scares me.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a huge problem, and it's not always physical. It can be financial, it can be emotional, psychological, verbal, any sort of abuse, but in some form, and they're all equally bad, you know, at least 1 in 5 women will experience it. And when I learned that, and that I was not this weirdo isolated case, that I thought, this is incredible. How could I have made it to be 30 years old and not realize that this was a huge problem, that it wasn't just me, and that there are so many resources out there that I didn't know about when I was trying to leave? I got myself out. without any help from anyone, really. I mean, like, my family helped me when I asked them to, but I didn't use any shelters or crisis centers or hotlines or anything because I didn't know they existed.
Wow.
So I figured now that I have, you know, starting my life over, that I could just come up with this ride that I wanted to do just because it was an adventure that I dreamed of doing. And while I was at it, I would do it to raise awareness.
Wow. This is amazing. I understand that you're getting ready to start a podcast to discuss this, and I know that's going to create a ton of awareness. What are you doing while you're riding and while you're staying in your hosts' houses to raise awareness in the different communities that you visit?
Yes, I will be starting my podcast on March 15th. It's called Have Horse, Will Travel.
Love it.
And it'll be a weekly podcast. I also have a YouTube channel and Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and my website. So I do a lot online. And then as far as the ride itself in person, I stop whenever I can at crisis centers and shelters and talk with the staff about what they're doing, what I've heard about that maybe they're not aware of from their community, exchange of ideas and whatnot. And then I just talk with everyone I meet. If I'm riding by a church on Sunday and they're just getting ready to start service, I'll tie up Apollo and go inside and maybe say a few words there. And I'll stop and talk to schools when I can, or just individuals everywhere. Because whether it's someone who's gone through it and hasn't had a safe place to tell their story, or if it's someone who doesn't know anything about domestic violence, there are so many levels of this conversation that can be had.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just talk to everyone I can in whatever way it is that would be useful for them.
Wow. Wow. And you've been doing it for 3 years.
Yeah.
I feel like enduring domestic violence for 12 years, you must be very strong and very brave to first have endured that and secondly to have extracted yourself from it. And so I guess what I want to hear about is how you think that bravery has empowered you to be brave enough to stay in the homes of strangers, or to be bold enough to entrust yourself to the vulnerability of being in the home of a stranger.
It's something people don't usually bring up when they ask me about my ride, but it's a very good point. You know, it's a lot of fun to ride my horse everywhere and see all these places and meet all these people and whatnot, but it's not easy. And there are certainly many days that are uncomfortable some way or another, physically or emotionally or mentally. And I definitely do think back on what I went through when I was being abused and the level of relatable discomfort at that point. Say I'm sore and tired one day. I'm like, oh, my feet hurt. And then I think back, oh, well, but I can get through this because I got through that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, it's maybe difficult to talk to new people all the time because I'm just tired and I want to just have a break. But I have to keep up with the message and keep up with the networking and keep up with all of the things I have to do to make this work. And when I'm struggling with that, I can remember, oh, but I can do this because I was able to deal with what I dealt with when I was married. And, you know, I was able to get out of that and I can use that strength to get through this little thing that I'm dealing with now.
Do you think you would have been able to tolerate what you're doing right now had you not gone through what you went through?
That's a good question. I don't usually do a lot of what ifs in my mind, but I would think that, you know, I'm the same person. So yep. The same natural characteristics. On the other hand, life changes you. So presumably I'm a stronger person now for what I went through, and I do draw on that strength. So I don't know.
Yeah. Tell me some of the not so fancy moments that you've experienced specifically related to staying in the homes of strangers.
Well, it's always interesting meeting new people, and sometimes that's good interesting, and sometimes it's bad interesting, and sometimes it's funny interesting, and sometimes it's really embarrassing.
Aww.
So I've learned over the years with staying with a new person basically every night, I've gotten really good at being a guest. But at the same time, there are always these people that really test your skills, whatever you want to call it.
You've got good guesting skills, huh? You might have to do a whole episode on how to be a good guest, because I think people don't, you know, we don't tumble naturally to these things. My mom travels a lot, and she's talked a lot about how to be a good hotel room sharer. And I'm like, gosh, Mom, and it never would have occurred to me to think of those things, you know. So you've had a unique experience. That knowledge might really be of benefit to your listeners. So anyway, I digress.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely something that people don't usually have to do anymore. You know, if you're going to be a guest, it's usually with someone that you're close to.
Right.
And they will forgive your less guest-like behaviors.
They have a larger context within which they are judging each and every behavior you're exhibiting.
When you stay with a perfect stranger, then it's an entirely different thing. And first impressions are so important. And the most awkward, embarrassing first impression was one home that I got to. I arrived before my hostess got home from work, and she had left the back door unlocked for me, which, let me just say, it amazes me every time that I stay with every person how kind people are. Aww. To invite this weird stranger into their home. And not only just to invite me in, but also, how often do I get to someone's home first and they're like, oh, make yourself at home, let yourself in, help yourself to a snack. I'm like, you haven't even met me.
Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy, but good crazy. So anyway, this one lady that I stayed with in Kansas invited me to let myself in and make myself comfortable while I waited for her to get home from work. So, you know, I got Apollo settled in and let myself in and was just sitting on the couch, relaxing, doing my Facebook post or something. And I felt something on my shoulder, like a pinch. And I reached back and rubbed the spot under my shirt. And there was a lump there, like a large grain of sand, a little hard thing. And I was like, what is that? And I went in the bathroom and pulled my shirt off, and there was a tick on my shoulder.
Oh, no.
And it totally freaked me out, because I've picked ticks off of Apollo, but I've never picked them off of myself. And I was freaking out, and I couldn't reach it more than just to touch it. Like, I couldn't have gotten it off myself.
And it's not like Apollo can help you out with that.
No. He's helpful for many things, but he's not helpful for that.
Yeah.
And just as I was starting to go into panic mode, my hostess came home. And so I stuck my head out the bathroom and said, oh my gosh, hi, nice to meet you. Can you please get this tick off of my back? And sorry, I don't have a shirt on. A little awkward. Yes.
So what was your host lady like? Did she just jump right in there and get the tick off of you? Or did she act like, oh my gosh, or
No, she was super cool with it. She plucked the tick off and I put my shirt back on and we went about like it was a completely normal sort of way to meet someone. So
that is an interesting way to meet your host.
Yes.
I love it.
Definitely not recommended for good guest skills.
Oh my gosh. Guesting 101, do not have your shirt off when your host arrives home. You know, it just, I'm still kind of reeling over this. I had thought about your safety and making yourself vulnerable. I hadn't thought about your hosts and how they are making themselves vulnerable and how this is probably going a long way towards healing your view of kindness and trustworthiness of people in general, even though you went through such awful years with your husband.
Most of the people that I stay with, they don't really necessarily give it a second thought, as far as I can tell, about having a stranger in their home, because they're just so excited to be a part of what I'm doing. And, you know, a lot of them are horse people, so they want to meet Apollo and hear about my horse stories. But there are definitely people who are hesitant to invite me, will communicate in advance, and they'll share that with me, which I appreciate. But they still want to be a part of what I'm doing. They want to support my ride and my cause. And maybe they're curious about what I'm doing and want to ask stories, or
they want to be nice people or whatever it is that motivates them, but they're just not really comfortable having a stranger in their home, which is totally understandable. But most people I stay with are more surprised that I'm willing to stay with a stranger, and they think it's completely normal to be hospitable themselves, but
they're on their
surprising
own
that I would be there,
yeah,
and willing to do that.
I definitely think there's more vulnerability on your part, but, you know, it goes both ways.
You had asked about some of my favorite places to stay or people to stay with, and I can't pick a favorite, but definitely several of my favorites have been people with younger children.
Aw, that's neat. It's just so novel for children, and it's always exciting to have somebody come over and stay. And
oh, yeah. And last winter, I published a children's book for young readers. It's called Apollo's Alphabet, and it's an ABC book from a horse's perspective.
I love it. What a cute idea.
Families I stayed with this year, they had bought their little girl this book in advance of me getting there.
Oh my gosh.
And so she'd already read it. And then we showed up and she was like, oh, Apollo, I read your book. Oh. And she was talking to him all about the book. And it was so cute.
Tell me what happened to you in regards to not understanding accents.
Definitely a challenge with staying with people all around the country is that there are different accents and dialects everywhere. Most of the time, I do okay with it. But there have been a few places, notably the Oklahoma Panhandle was terrible. Huh. And also in rural Indiana, there's still a few people with some pretty thick accents. And the rural country accents that I have difficulty with are the ones where they sound like they have a mouthful of marbles.
They don't enunciate anything.
They don't enunciate anything. Several places that I've stayed, I've had to have people spell things for me.
Oh my goodness.
And that is, it's just awkward.
It's already awkward. And then when you can't understand them and you feel like you're inconveniencing them as they're trying to communicate with you, it's like, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah.
I feel for you.
When I was in Oklahoma, now this was also more of a cultural thing than just the accent. I was invited to go to a calf fry. And I'm not even going to try the accent because I can't.
A what?
But a calf fry.
C-A-L-F?
C-A-L-F.
Okay. I've never heard of that.
And so, except the way they pronounced calf was so odd. I had them say it very slowly, calf fry. And I was like, okay, it's two words. The second part's fry. I still don't know what the first part is. And she goes, C-A-L-F. I'm like, calf. Oh, calf fry. Okay, what the heck is a calf fry? So it's no wonder I didn't understand what she was saying because the whole thing was a foreign concept to me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in different parts of the country or anywhere in the country, really, for fundraisers, there will be some sort of all-you-can-eat meal.
Yep.
Spaghetti or...
In the Outer Banks of North Carolina, it was always a fish fry.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. in Northern California, it's often a crab feed.
Yep.
And in Oklahoma, it's calf fry. And they eat fried calf testicles, which in other parts of the country, they call Rocky Mountain oysters, but not there.
Now, tell me this, because I'm not a horse person or an animal person or an agriculture person at all. I have three cats and a dog. But I am assuming the reason why calf testicles are available is because these calves are getting castrated so that they're not fertile. Is this true?
Right. Okay. They cut them off so that the... Then they make steers out of them instead of bulls.
Okay.
And steers put on more fat, and they have better tasting meat.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So, yeah, then there's these leftover testicles, and they fry them up and eat them.
Wow. Did you eat some?
I did not.
Oh. Are you
at the time, I was vegetarian, so...
Oh, okay. Now, that's another thing. Not only are you sleeping on what you hope are clean sheets in a safe home where your horse is outside, but you are also eating food that these hosts are providing. And I'm sure a lot of times they kind of pull out all the stops for you and put a really nice meal on. What are some of the stranger things besides calf testicles that you've been offered to eat?
Oh, let's see. I love food. I'm a total foodie.
Oh, good.
And I have been really pleasantly surprised
all around the country how much regional food there still is.
Oh, good.
I always thought before starting this ride that American food was American food. Okay. Wherever you go, obviously there's pizza and burgers and hot dogs and that kind of stuff. But there is actually quite a variety of things that are very specific to that area. I always like looking for that kind of stuff as I travel. I really enjoyed trying the foods up in the Dakotas and Minnesota and Wisconsin because the early settlers were Scandinavian.
Okay.
And so there's still a lot of Scandinavian influence in their foods there. You can get lefse, which is like a crepe, but with potato flour.
Mm.
And that's delicious. And you can get lutefisk, which I didn't try. It wasn't lutefisk season when I was there. And I might be butchering the pronunciation, but it's a fish that's been preserved in lye. All over the country, there's interesting things to try.
Yeah. Well, we just moved to Montana pretty recently from Reno, Nevada. And I have to know, and I want to ask you before I forget, have you gone to Montana yet?
Yes, but just a little bit into the edge of Montana by Yellowstone.
Okay, so you're in northwestern Montana, is that? No, northeastern Montana. I don't even know.
Southwestern Montana.
Oh. Well, nice try. I had a 25% chance and I blew it twice. Obviously, I'm not super familiar with the geography around here yet. I'll learn, though. Oh, darn. I was hoping maybe you were still going to come through here and you could stay with us.
Nope. I decided Montana had way too many big mountains, and I was tired of mountains at that point. They're beautiful, but they are not easy riding.
Well, and it's smart if there is a route that's amenable to just skirting the corner of a state when you're on a ride. It just makes sense logistically that you would take that route, so, and not cross a huge state like Montana.
Yeah, even if I do miss out on beautiful scenery.
Yeah, that's not the point of this particular adventure that you're on right now. So I'm sure there are states that you are thinking, I'm definitely get someday in my life going to go back and visit and explore. But on Apollo is not the right way to do it necessarily.
Exactly. I don't always ride him. Sometimes I walk and lead him down the road.
Okay.
So several times while I've been doing this, walking down the road with him, since you cannot see me from the other side with him being so tall and me not being tall, and especially because I have all of my saddlebags with all my stuff on him, it's even harder to see me on the other side. Mm-hmm. There have been several times that someone has seen him, but not me. And
he's
have
just
called
on a trip all by himself.
Yeah, they think he's just walking down the road. And so they'll call the police and report that there's a loose horse on the road. And the police show up and they're like, so we heard there's a loose horse, but you're here. So is this your horse?
Are you stealing this horse or have you captured this horse?
I'm like, it's my horse.
That's funny. Have you ever had to prove? How would you prove that he's your horse while you're walking down the road?
Oh, I carry paperwork.
Yeah, good. Oh my gosh. Do you know what I saw the other day on my road? So we live about 30 miles from Missoula, Montana, which is a relatively small city. And I saw the other day a car. It wasn't even like a farm truck. I have the video on my phone because I just couldn't believe it, so I had to video it. But I don't remember what kind of car. But like a red, shiny car, some kind of nice car. And it was driving really slowly. And I realized that there was a horse on a lead line through the window. And
I've done that.
Have you? They were just driving down the road. I'm like, okay, and I saw it more than once, and I thought, I have got to know what's happening here. Are they exercising that horse? Is that horse getting out, but they don't want to hitch up their trailer, so they're just leading him home? What the heck's happening?
Maybe you should stop and ask. The time that
I will.
The time that I did it was because it was pouring rain, and someone stopped and asked if I wanted help because I was getting drenched.
Oh.
And they didn't have a trailer, but they were like, well, you can sit in the truck and we can go 3 miles an hour and just lead Apollo through the window. And I was like, well, if you're willing to take that time, I'm willing to get out of the rain. So
that's why I was leading him through the window. This doesn't seem quite fair. I was carrying you and now you're riding in a dry truck and I'm still walking in the rain.
Right? His life is so tough.
I love it. That's so cute. Well, tell me more about Apollo. You taught him how to smile?
Yes. When horses are relaxed, they often have their ears turned like they're listening to something behind them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I can picture that.
And people tend to get that mixed up with when they're angry and pin their ears, which means to flatten their ears against their neck. Once you see the difference, it's clear. But if you've never seen a horse pin its ears, you might confuse just having them turn backwards as being unhappy. And so when he gets his picture taken, I always want his ears to be pointed towards the camera because then he looks happy. And it just makes a better picture anyway. It always looks better when their ears are perked up. And so I taught him that when he's getting his picture taken, he needs to look towards the camera and perk up his ears. And that's what I call smiling. So he doesn't show his teeth, but he's looking like he's happy. Like when we say smile, you know, we're forcing a smile to look happy, even though we wouldn't necessarily be smiling at that moment. And so it's similar with him. I want him to look happy for the camera.
Oh, that's so cute.
And so he started doing that pretty well. You pull out a phone and point it at him and he's like, oh, there's a phone. And he started posing himself.
Oh my gosh.
And then I didn't teach him this, but he somehow figured out that when people take a selfie with him, that they lean in, you know, so everyone can be in the frame. Mm-hmm. And he figured out that he can lean into them. And so he does selfies now.
That's so cute. Oh, I love it. Oh, that's so great. I am assuming that when nature calls, there isn't always a facility handy for you. So I'm sure you've had some shenanigans where that's concerned.
I have peed in a lot of bushes, for sure. And the trick with that, with a horse, is, well, he's so tall, I can't hide behind him because he's just a lot of long, skinny legs. So I have to find somewhere that I can get out of sight of traffic should any cars come by, and also that I can take him with me or tie him to something sturdy nearby that he will be out of traffic and not escaping while I do my business. Mm-hmm. That's a challenge that I didn't really expect because I like hiking and there's plenty of places when you're hiking to just step off the trail and drop trowel, but it's not
so much when you're traveling on a road.
And it's even less when you have to also consider what you're doing with your horse. It's kind of a trick to also hold on to his rope while I'm doing this. He's generally pretty good, but he has tried to walk off a few times while I've been trying to, you know, balance or deal with my pants, and he starts to try to wander off.
Uh-huh. Oh, you're a brave woman in so many ways. Do you sing while you ride, or do you talk on your phone while you ride?
I try not to talk on my phone when I ride. It may or may not be legal to talk on your phone while you're riding a horse on the road, but legality aside, uh-huh. I don't generally talk on the phone unless it's really urgent that I take that call. Mm-hmm. I do sing quite a bit. I do not have a good singing voice. And I'll be the first to admit it, and Apollo will be the first to remind me of that. I really like Broadway musicals. Oh. And so I'll get really going, you know, singing away to some song. Of course, I'm not listening to it on my phone because I have to save the battery. I'm just doing this all, you know, off the top of my head. And I'll just get going and Apollo will turn and give me the stink eye. Like, yeah, you hit that note wrong.
Zip it back there. That's so cute.
Some of my favorite moments of the ride have taken place in towns where the people have just been so thrilled to actually get to pet a horse that they've never had that opportunity before. And they're just so excited that they get to meet a horse and pet him. And so one town that I went through was Middletown, Ohio. It's definitely not a horse community. And so when I was riding through this town, all these people were so excited about seeing Apollo. And word was spreading through town that there was a person riding a horse through, and you need to get over to whatever street it was I was on and meet this horse. And I say meet the horse and not meet me, because that's actually what people want. So people would pull up in cars and just pile out. And one of these cars with all these kids that piled out to meet Apollo, he loves kids. He'll put his head down and let them just rub all over his head and loves it. So anyway, Apollo was enjoying himself. The kids were enjoying themselves. One of the kids asked me if I ever brush his teeth. And I said, well, no. And do you know what happens when you don't brush your teeth? Do you want to see what happens? There was like half a dozen kids there. They're all like, yes, we want to see. And so I pulled his lips back so they could see what his teeth look like, which are, of course, gross.
A mess.
He's a horse.
Yeah.
And the kids were all like, ew. And so I said, so this is why you need to brush your teeth every day. And they're like, yeah. So
those kids are going to have the best teeth in town.
Yep. They had a dental hygiene learning moment there.
That's great. Well, he sounds like a really easygoing horse then. You can pull his lips back and he doesn't care if 10 people are petting him at once. I guess he'd have to be.
Yeah, he loves people and he's very friendly. So definitely the kind of horsenality that you want on this,
horsenality.
This sort of adventure.
What have you been loving lately that you think the listeners would love too?
Just for fun, I've been learning Mandarin Chinese for about a year now.
Just for fun? That sounds
just for fun.
Awful. That sounds really hard.
I love languages. In 2018, every month I sampled a different language on some language learning app on my phone. I would just try a different language each month. I decided I liked Chinese so much that I would just focus on it. So I have been studying Chinese for a year. And now I am watching, of course, I don't speak it that well, so there's subtitles, but I've been watching this Chinese drama called The Untamed. And it is a lot of fun. It's set in a fantastical type, fantasy type version of ancient China. So it's kind of like a combination of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Game of Thrones, and The Walking Dead.
Oh, wow. What a combo.
Right.
That's amazing. And I bet if you want to learn a language just kind of on your own time, I'm assuming watching media with subtitles is a really good way to sort of solidify things.
Oh, yeah. And at least it's a fun way to inspire myself to keep learning.
Yeah. Wow. How are you watching The Untamed? Is it on Netflix or what?
It's now on Netflix and it's also on YouTube.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for being with me. I'll probably think of about 30 questions as soon as we stop our interview, but you are a really fascinating person. I have a feeling there's a lot more under there. I mean, you just sort of off the cuff mentioned that you focused on a different language every month for 12 months. It's like, wait, what? That's just incredible. Tell the listeners where they can find you and how they can support you if you take support from outside sources.
For anyone who'd like to follow along on our adventures, there's, of course, the upcoming podcast, Have Horse Will Travel. And then my website is www.centaurride.org, centauride.org. And from there, you can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and YouTube.
Excellent. Very good. You have been so much fun. I can't wait to follow along and I can't wait to hear your podcast. Thank you so much for giving me the time to interview you today. We had some technical difficulties and you were so patient with all of my nosy questions. I just really appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Isn't Meredith amazing? I cannot imagine. Just everything that she's been through is so inspiring and unique, and she's just a really impressive, interesting, fascinating person to me. Thank you so much for listening to the episode today. I know you enjoyed it.
Make sure you check out the show notes at fancyfreepodcast.com. Select episodes and then select Meredith's episode so that you can see all of her links. I will also put the video of the person walking their horse with their car down my road because I found that on my phone. And I thought that might be fun for you guys to see. Of course, there will be a picture of Meredith and Apollo. Also, make sure that you click the subscribe button on your podcast listening app so that new episodes pop into your feed each week. And actually, this week, you don't have to wait a week for our next episode. We are having an extra special episode on Wednesday with Shelley Knight, who's the author of Positive Changes, a self-kick book. She is absolutely delightful, and I cannot wait for you to come laugh with us on Wednesday. I would absolutely love it if you would follow the Fancy Free Podcast on Instagram. And if you want more connection and laughter and a sense of belonging, please join our private Facebook group where we can tell each other our embarrassing stories in our own little private slice of the internet. Also, as you guys may know, my love language is words of affirmation. And so when anyone leaves a review for Fancy Free on whatever podcast listening app they're using, but I think the most visible one is Apple, it just makes my heart sing, and it just makes me so happy to know how you're feeling about the show and what you like about it. So if you have some time today, if you could go over to Apple Podcasts and just leave Fancy Free a review and a rating, that would be so awesome. We always do a question of the week each week in our Fancy Free Facebook group, and the question of the week this week is, have you ever ridden a horse? And do you have any funny or embarrassing horse stories? Thanks again for listening. Have a wonderful week. And remember, no one is as fancy as they look.